Thank you so much, Seth and Donna. Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah Guthels, and I'm really excited to be here to talk to you about GitHub. Quick little bit about me. I now work at Microsoft, and I love teaching and learning code and tech. Prior to this role, I was at GitHub as a manager for how we integrate GitHub into client applications like Visual Studio Code. GitHub is super fascinating to me, and I'm really excited because it is a tool that I think every developer, especially when you're first starting out, should leverage because it's not just a tool, but a community as well. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So today I'm going to mostly be doing demos. This deck is really just for my agenda. And we're going to start out with a little bit about what are the GitHub tools that I personally recommend. You can follow along if you would like. And afterwards, there is something that you can engage with to try out GitHub for the first time without it feeling stressful, like you're going to be on someone's real code base and give it a try. So I'll direct you to that. After we explore some of the tools, we're also going to go into what exactly is Git and GitHub, and I'll kind of demo how it works. We'll go through the GitHub flow, which is actually different from Git, and I'll explain that. And then I'll touch briefly on what open source software is, or OSS. All right, so let's get started. First of all, this is what you might see if you log into github.com. So if you go to github.com, you can sign up. And when you log in, the first time you log in, you probably won't have a lot of this. But as you start to use it, this is what the homepage of a logged in GitHub account looks like. And what is GitHub really? It's really just a place to, like at the bare minimum, it's a place online to store your code. It's much more than that because rather than just it being kind of a blob storage or just like a place to put code, it also tracks the changes that have been made on the code. It's useful for individuals as you're trying to build something. So you can kind of say, this is a point in time when I've added this feature, I know this works, and then you can kind of make a marker there, and then you can keep experimenting with the next part of your code. And if that doesn't work, you can kind of just delete and reset to over here. You can kind of think about this. We have the same kind of thing in like Word docs with track changes, right? So you can have lots of people also editing the same code or the same doc and tracking all of the changes that they make. And you can accept some changes and not others. So you can kind of think about it like that. It's a place where if you're working by yourself, it's still a great backup place for your code. And if you're working with others, it's also a really cool place to work with other people. So on the side over here, you'll see different repositories that you might be working on that might be yours, that you might be contributing to. GitHub has teams. We're not gonna jump into that today, but you can check that out. Over here in the center, we've got kind of what's been happening on the repositories that you might be engaging with or that you might own. And so that's kind of just a feed over here. And if you want, you can also look through some of these other high-level menus. Explore will take you to some of the more popular repositories based on your interests or based on topics that you might be interested in. So if you've been attending some of the like web dev sessions from earlier, you might be interested in checking out CSS. I don't know, I'm not a web dev person, or Flask. I'm more in the Python realm, and so that would be a good place to start. Also, we've got your profile page. And one really cool thing that we have that has recently come out on GitHub is the ability to create a README for your profile page. So there's instructions on how to do that, and I'll also link to some. But basically, if you create a repository called your username and you just create a README file, you can create this kind of high level README so that people, when they come to your profile, kind of know what you're about and what you're interested in. Let's keep kind of going through. You can see repositories on people's profiles. If they're public, you can check them out and go see what they're working on. And one in particular I wanted to bring your attention to is my Talks with Dr. G repository, where, for example, and actually I'm on the wrong README. If you go into my Start Dev Change, you'll find this session. And in this session, you'll find a README with a bunch of additional resources that you can follow up with. So that's a little bit about GitHub. It's basically this like web browser where you can store your code. A repository is kind of like a folder. Inside of a repository, you have files. I work a lot in markdown files as I do a lot of documenting, but you can have any kind of code there and it kind of keeps track of that. That's all what you can do in the browser, or kind of that environment in the browser. But there's also some tools that I highly recommend on any platform. So whether you're on Windows, Mac, or Linux, I highly recommend GitHub Desktop. Actually, maybe it's just Windows and Mac now. I can't exactly remember. But GitHub Desktop is this really great application. And let me zoom in. For some reason, this page didn't get zoomed in. It's this really great application, which I'll show you in just a second, that allows you to take the code that's stored up in the browser, stored up on the cloud, and bring it down onto your local machine. Okay, so you can kind of imagine it as code is being saved up here on GitHub's servers. And then I'm going to create a copy of it, bring it down to my local environment, and I'm going to modify that code. And that is just modifying it here in my local environment. And then when I'm ready, I'm going to push all of that code back up to GitHub so it can be saved up there and accessed by other people if I want it to be. GitHub Desktop allows you to do that fairly easily with some just like clicks of buttons, and just kind of allows you to track your code this way. It's got a lot of features for checking to see like if I had pulled my code down and made some changes and someone else had made changes while I was doing that, before I just kind of throw my changes up there, it'll have me pull those changes down, make sure everything looks good, make sure I know what I'm adding and changing. And that helps out a lot. And we'll show that in just a minute too. The other application that I use a lot is Visual Studio Code. Visual Studio Code has GitHub integration into it to do like the basic Git things associated with your GitHub account. So Git is the basic like clone your code, make changes, save those changes, push those changes, things like that. And GitHub allows for things like a pull request, which is complicated and we'll get into in just a minute. So Visual Studio Code has some integrations with Git and GitHub that allow you to just work in this environment if you'd like. I prefer to have desktop and VS Code mainly because my brain gets a little confused. And so I like to write code in one place and like manage code in a different place. Even though I could do it all in VS Code, I like to have that separation. I also just wanted to highlight that VS Code also has this Learn to Code site that does have some packaging. For example, if you're a Java coder or you're a Python coder, it has some packaging for you, as well as some tutorials and things that you can follow along with. I just wanted to kind of plug that. Okay, this is very similar to what you might do in this introduction to GitHub learning module on Microsoft Learn. And you can find it at aka.ms/intro-to-github. It's also linked on my Talks with Dr. G site. So you can see that over here in the intro to GitHub right here. So you can find that module linked right here. But let's actually just do it. So we're going to first go to GitHub. And at the very top, I'm going to click on this plus button, and I'm going to click New Repository. And I don't need to use a template, but one really cool thing is that on GitHub, you can actually make a repository that's a template, and then many people can kind of have that same template. We're just going to have this be a simple one. I'm going to call this one Start Dev Change Demo. And I'm going to make this one public, but you could make it private if you wanted to. I like to always add a README file because I think that like a repository, basically that folder of code, should always have a front file that just kind of explains what it is. You don't have to put in a ton of detail at the very beginning, but I highly recommend having that. The gitignore is a really great file. You can always add it later, but basically it's a list of all the types of files that you don't want to include, you don't want to have saved up inside of GitHub. And the reason is sometimes, depending on what language you're using or what operating system you're on, they might create files that help that operating system or that local environment understand kind of how to use your code, but they're not relevant to everyone's local setup. So if you're doing something complex where those types of files are being added, you can add it to a git ignore. We're not worrying about that right now. We're just going to do markdown. So, and then another really neat thing is choosing a license. So there's a really amazing resource right here. Maybe if code wants to load or pages want to load, that explains about how to choose licenses for your code. And it doesn't look like it's loading right now. So we're not going to worry about it. But basically, choosing a license allows you to pick any of the common licenses that GitHub already has in there for you, or you can kind of walk through on this learn more. Again, not sure why it's not working right now. It might be me. You can walk through what license might be good for you. And this is, for example, maybe you want people to be able to use your code and whatever they want to do. Or maybe they're allowed to use your code, but they have to always push their changes back to what you're doing. Or maybe you say, you know what, you can use your code, my code, as long as you use it for free. Basically, it's giving you the control over how other people use your code. I'm not going to worry about this right now because this is just a simple demo repo. So I'm going to click on create repo now. And this basically creates that folder called start dev change demo inside of my GitHub user. And it created that README file for me, which right now is just nothing. Up here, you can see this kind of square blue box with my name on it that says initial commit with README. This is where the list of files would come in. So for example, if I wanted to create a new file, I could do so all in the browser. I could call this sarah.md. MD stands for markdown. It's basically the programming language that allows you to format your just writing. So I could say like, my name is Sarah, welcome to my talk. And I can create this folder or this file. Here is where we are doing that like save that file thing. So it's called commit in GitHub. Commit is basically saying I've made changes to this file and I am ready for these changes to be represented in my official kind of repository. When you do an initial commit, if you're on the GitHub browser, you can commit it directly to that branch, to that kind of file, which is what I'm going to do here. But you'll see in a minute when we go down to the local environment, there you will have to commit and then push those changes because you're only committing in your local environment. So right now we're in the browser. So commits happen for real in the browser on our code. When we're in our local environment, the commits happen locally. And then we have to tell our cloud supported code, stored code, that we've made those changes. It's always a good idea to have really good titles and descriptions for your commits. In this case, it really is just create a new sarah.md file. And my description is demoing how to create a markdown file in the browser. These are useful because, again, if you're heavily using commits, if you're saying, hey, this is a part where I've made some changes and I'm confident that these work, then if you go on to do the next bit of stuff, it's okay if that stuff doesn't work because you can always just revert and delete all of that stuff you just did and just focus on the last commit that you made. So having good titles and descriptions for those commits helps only you because if you've made a few and then you're like, oh, I need to backtrack like four of them, you know where you want to go back to. So we can commit that file here. And then now you can see that it has not only the README, but also the sarah.md. You could also create folders in here. I'll show you that in just a little bit. Anytime you're within a folder, the README, anything titled like README.md will always be displayed down below, or you can click on it here. Okay, so now we've created this repository called start dev change demo. It's got two files in it, one called README.md with just this title and one called sarah.md with the stuff we just wrote. Now let's actually get it down to our desktop. So again, with GitHub desktop, this is super easy. You just click open with GitHub desktop and that'll just open GitHub desktop, which will take us here. And it'll automatically kind of put the URL in there and offer up a local path. So I'm actually going to change this one. Let's just go ahead and put it on our desktop instead of putting it in the Ignite folder. You can also click choose here and choose where you want it. And I'm going to click clone. So what clone does is it takes all of the code that was up in the browser and it makes a copy of it down local below. Now it's called clone, not like reference or something, because it is an actual copy of it. So things that I do here won't immediately be reflected online until we push those changes. So we can open this inside of Visual Studio Code. And let me bring that up here. And now what you see is I've got my start dev change folder, and I've got my README file with just that title, and I've got my sarah.md with what we wrote. So we can change this one, for example, to look a little bit more like this. Oops. And welcome to my demo repo. I can save the changes here. So this has officially saved the changes. However, we have not made those changes like up into the browser. So it's saved those changes. We can see in GitHub Desktop that I've made a change. This is the change that I've made. I've deleted this line and I've added these three lines. Now we didn't really delete this line. We just kind of changed it. But because we changed kind of the majority of the line, GitHub is going to recognize that as like, look, you basically just got rid of that line and added in a new one. Okay. So if we go back over here, here, we can see that those changes to the README didn't get updated. So for example, if I refresh the page, there's no changes here because we didn't actually push those changes. So we've saved them. Now we're going to create a commit. So updating the README file. Added a welcome message to the README. And I'm going to commit to main. Still, this is all local. Okay, so if we were to go back over here, we're still not seeing these changes yet. And that's because all we've done is save changes to our local file on our local machine, made a commit, so said, yes, this is a point in time that I'm confident of my code. Now we need to actually push our changes back up to the repository. And you can do that either clicking up here to the push origin or clicking here. So I'm going to click push. Once that is done, again, depending on how much code you've changed or manipulated, that may take shorter or longer. Now, when I head back over here and I refresh the page, we see that it changed this to what we had over in the code. And we can see the same type of thing. Make sure you check out the talks with Dr. G repo too. And then I can commit changes for the purposes of speed. I'm just going to commit them without changing the title. So now I've added this in here. And if I head back to GitHub Desktop, I can say fetch to ask Desktop to go up to the browser and say, or to the cloud and say, hey, have there been any changes? And when I say fetch, it'll say, yes, there has been one change. You might want to pull that down. I can pull those changes down. And now when I open up in Visual Studio Code, we see those changes here. So that's high level overview. I did want to also go over how pull requests work. So we're going to go back into my talks with Dr. G. And inside of the intro to GitHub folder here, by the way, you can get to this aka.ms/talks with Dr. G. And if you go there and then you click on start dev change and you click on intro to GitHub, that's how you will get here. And here you can see that I'm inviting you to contribute to this repository. So what GitHub allows you to do is a couple of extra things. Number one, we can fork this repository. So for example, I have a friend of mine, Megan, and she forked my repository. So we can actually go over here and see that she, under her account, has a Talks with Dr. G folder or repository. So she made a copy, but this is called a fork because anything that she wants to push back will always come back to mine, okay? So she's going to fork it, and then she's going to make her changes. And then what she's going to do is create what's called a pull request. And a pull request is where she's requesting that I pull her changes into my repository. Okay. So when she creates a pull request, she adds a title, she adds a description, and then I can also see all of the files that she changed. So she created a new file in the notes folder called Megan.md. And this new file, she wrote this stuff here. I can approve these changes. Thanks for joining the talk. I can submit my review. And then I can merge these changes into my code. And so now, if I go over into my code and I head down into Start Dev Change and I go into Intro to GitHub, in my notes folder, I now have Megan.md. And what's really, really cool about this is if you wanted to go in and do this, all you have to do is fork my repository by clicking this fork button up here. Then once you're in yours, so it says your GitHub username here with Talks with Dr. G, head over to this notes folder, click add file, create new file with your name.md. When you make those changes, it'll walk you through the process of like, hey, do you want to commit this back up and make a pull request? You'll say yes. And then when they get added, when I merge them in, you'll get added to this share board here. So this was my note to all of you. And this was Megan's note right here. So she added in a little GIF and she said, hey, it's me checking in. So everyone who's attending this talk or watching this later, you are welcome to kind of join us in this fun little experiment. All the instructions are here and feel free to reach out if you have questions. I know I've only got like, I think 2 minutes left or so. I did want to touch a little bit on OSS, open source software. So, where am I? Oh, there we go. Okay. So software that gets built on GitHub publicly is often open source software. And so what that means is basically that they're not only building their code publicly, but they're also inviting you to contribute to that code base. Those contributions can be made in the way of creating issues, not creating problems, but issues are basically ways to say like, hey, I think there's something wrong with this. This is what like I ran into when I did these steps. So can you help me? And it can also be in the way of like adding features. One of the most important things to remember with open source is that the folks who are maintaining these projects are often doing so on the side. They're often not getting paid to do it. And or, for example, with the case of VS Code, which is an open source project, there are paid people working on this, but they are also working to build certain features. So every single of these like over 5,000 issues may not get addressed. So they also have a community of maintainers that help them out. That means that you want to be respectful whenever you're working with folks. So I just wanted to really quickly walk you through what it might look like. Number one is if you head over to an open source project, you can go over to the issues and you can click on labels here. Oops, sorry, I did not mean to click on that labels. You can click on label here and you can sort by something called a good first issue or help wanted. I usually like to go to good first issue. If you click on that, you're going to be taken to all of the issues where the team has marked those as these are great if you don't like if you're just getting started with the VS Code code base and you want to try to become a contributor of this project. So, for example, we can head here. And one of the issues that I discovered was this one. And it's been closed just recently because I just opened this one. But basically, this person said, hey, I've got this issue. This is how it happened. And then this person, who's a community member, said, hey, I want to try solving this issue. And then someone else said, sure, like this is where I would start. And they had a good conversation about how they might solve it. And then we can see that this person opened up a pull request. So remember, a change to say, I think I've got a solution to this. Do you think this works? And if that does, then that would end up closing out the issue. So we can see that this fix did actually close that issue and contributed back. So I know I'm pretty much out of time. Oops, wrong direction. The last thing I just wanted to say is, please head over to Microsoft Learn, follow aka.ms/intro to GitHub for that Learn module and also other modules. Make sure that you ask questions. I'll be hanging out on Twitch for the next 30 minutes. Make sure you check out the free certifications that we're offering with the Cloud Skills Challenge at aka.ms/startdevchange. I'm also part of the Reactor Org, which we do live streams and pre-recorded videos. You can check us out, MSFT Reactor on Twitter. And finally, this is me at Dr. Guthels. Follow me on Twitter, ask me questions, I'm there. And also check out aka.ms/talkswithdrg if you want to contribute to our share board. Thank you everyone so much for your time, and I'll see you in the Twitch chat.